say, and we're back.
You've been gone for a little bit.
I have. Luckily, the show has maintained because we pre-recorded a few. But yeah, it feels like I've been gone for like almost 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Nine.
Sat down in a while, man.
So, but we're back, and it's summertime. And the reason I was gone was because I was on vacation. So, I kind of broke my normal rule. Normally, I don't let anybody know that I'm anywhere but home until I'm back from being gone. But screwed up and accidentally. My Scary Dad's Instagram is linked to Facebook and to Twitter and stuff, and I have it automatically share, and I didn't pay attention to that fact whenever I was sharing stuff on Instagram as Scary Dad. Then I go over to Facebook and I notice that like travel pictures are on Facebook,
right.
And I'm like, okay, well, people know I'm gone, whatever. But normally you wouldn't know that till I get back, but I'm back, so it is now July 2nd.
Happy 4th of July.
Yeah, got a couple days. I think it's on, today's a Monday.
Wednesday.
So it's on a Wednesday, so basically we're just drinking all week, I guess. Kind of like when Halloween lands on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
You have the party on Saturday before, then you have the party on the Saturday after.
Right.
And trick-or-treating in between. So, how have you been? What's been going on since I've been gone?
Same old, man. Just working and finally cooled down a little bit because of all the rain we've been having. But it's a nice little break for a second until the mosquitoes kick in next week.
It was nice to come home to it not being so thoroughly.
Right.
we were up in Seattle, so the weather up there is somewhere in between almost a little chilly and perfect.
Okay.
Like, you know, we're talking like low 50s at night, mid 50s at night. Up to like mid 60s to low 70s in the day.
Okay.
So every day up there felt like those rare crisp autumn days that you're just waiting for to come here.
Mm-hmm.
That we have like four of.
Yeah.
And then it gets hot again. So yeah, I did not want to come home. I'm walking around in shorts. My wife's like, "You're not gonna wear a jacket." I was like, "If I need to buy a jacket, I will buy a jacket, but I'm not carrying one around with me. If it suddenly gets cold on us, then."
You know, from when you were talking about packing, I almost tagged you in a Facebook video the other day where they show the difference between a man and a woman packing for vacation. And she's packing 3 days before they leave and has all these bags. And he's like, the night before, he hollers out, "How many days are we going to be gone?" And she goes, "7. He goes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then he takes the one he has on, he smells it, 7. And he puts 6 in his bag.
Yep. It's true. It's exactly how I am. Well, the thing is, I don't do so much anymore, but I used to travel quite a bit for work. And for work, you know, you got to have the khakis and the polos and the evening stuff, and then the stuff to go out in, like your tennis shoes and your, you know, t-shirt for mm-hmm. going out with friends. If you're lucky enough to have friends that you work with that you want to go out and have drinks with that are not company related, you know, you want to have that little casual wear. But I've been doing this for decades, and I've never missed a plane, never come up short on clothing. I mean, at the very worst, if you come up a little bit short, usually the hotel has laundry service, so you just kind of like dial the number and you can send some stuff off. It comes back all clean and pressed, you know.
Right.
So I don't stress over it. But to be real though, up there, you know, you can't really tell. It's either perfect or it's cold, you know. It's like unlike here, where whenever you're forced to wear pants, it's just almost like punishment.
Right.
So the subject of this episode is going to be summer vacation.
Yes, with a horror twist.
So now it's time to get into some.
First, the old business.
That's right, Mr. Gomez. That's what we're doing. At noon today, so this is landing probably around 8 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock, whenever it posts. At noon today, it will be the exact middle of the year.
Okay.
It'll be the middle of the year with 182 days before it and 182 days after it.
It's so flying by again.
I know.
The older you get, the faster it goes, man.
It really, really does. All right, so getting into the old business. You know, sometimes doing this old business, you discover things. You know, you remember in school whenever they taught you stuff, and you're like, okay, this happened in the 1800s or the 1900s, or it's like we talked about Henry Ford doing his quadricycle or whatever. Yeah. So in 1698, so in the 17th century, Robert Savory patents the first steam engine. Which steamboats and everything, they only got really popular in the 19th century.
Yeah,
they weren't real big in the 17th or the 18th.
Right. I used to work on one that actually was originally christened in the 1920s, and so it was still an authentic steamboat and everything. Yeah, they were real big early 1900s.
It's Coal Run.
Yep. Yep.
You have a guy shoveling dogs in there.
They had converted it over time. It was actually one of the few boats allowed that was built totally of wood. It was considered a historic landmark.
Oh, cool.
So we still had a full wood boat that we used to go around in, and it was pretty neat. It showed its age. It was haunted. They had ghosts on it. They actually, Unsolved Mysteries did an episode about the boat I worked on.
That is badass.
The ghost of Mary Green, she was the first ever riverboat captain. And her dad was the original captain of the Delta Queen, and she took it over, and she died on the boat. And people used to see her ghost every so often.
Beautiful.
It's pretty cool stories, man.
On this date in 1881, President James Garfield is shot by an assassin, and he dies on September 19th, a couple months later. All right. Cue up the classic rock radio. On this date in 1900... the first Zeppelin flight over Germany. 1937, Amelia Earhart disappears over the Pacific. That was one of those things.
Huge story at its time.
Yeah. That's always been one of those things. It's like unsolved mystery. She was attempting a trans-Pacific flight and disappeared, and there's no trace of her. It's like, well, yeah. You dump a little plane into the drink there.
You ain't gonna find it.
You're not gonna find it. It's gonna go straight to the bottom. And if you're in it, and if you're not, you're gonna either get eaten by something or get eaten by a lot of things.
Right. Especially pre-GPS and black box days. Mm-hmm. You'll never know where it went.
And in good horror news, on this date in 1962, the first Walmart store opens in Rogers, Arkansas. Good place to go catch a neck tattoo if you're not careful.
This guy got arrested the other day. I'm not going to talk about a new business, so I'll bring it up now. But he had a pistol tattooed on his forehead. And basically, the handle of the gun went down the bridge of his nose, and then the gun came across his forehead. You're really limiting your job options at that point.
Yeah.
You can either be a criminal or a tattoo artist. Pretty much is what you're stuck with.
Yeah, because even if you go change it from a gun to like a bouquet of flowers,
it's
still a tattoo on your forehead.
And it wasn't like a clean one. It was like one of those junkyard tattoos like you used to see in middle school where somebody would put a Nike swoosh with an ink pen and a needle. It was one of those just funky tattoos.
Dude. When I was a kid, I was actually scared of that. Not scared like somebody was going to tattoo me, but I was always scared that, you know, like I was going to, for like, how best to describe it? Somebody was going to talk me into it. I would think it was fake and then it would turn out to be real. I don't know why my mind just worked that way. But, okay, happy birthday, notable births. You heard of Pierre Cardin?
Yeah.
The designer that you don't really hear much about anymore?
It was a cologne he used to have, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he was born in 1922. 1932, father of the square hamburger, Mr. Dave Thomas from Wendy's.
Wendy's Twitter's pretty fun to follow. I don't know if you follow it.
It is. In new business, I mean, it's kind of died down now, but did you follow any of that?
The IHOP
IHOP stuff?
Yeah, it's just a marketing thing. People kind of took it a little bit too far. But. Well,
It was the funniest thing was the responses from other restaurants.
Yeah,
just like Whataburgers. Like
we're proud of our pancakes, but we're not going to call ourselves What a Pancake.
Yep. Okay, 1947, creator of Seinfeld, Mr. Larry David. Dude's hilarious.
Yeah.
1964, baseball great Jose Canseco. 1982, my sister, Scary Carrie White.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, her, like she's gone as Carrie from the novel or from the movie, whichever, for on Halloween for the longest, you know, it's one of her favorite characters, and then she met her husband, and his last name was White, so now she gets to be Carrie White. 1986, Lindsay Lohan, so that's something I can tease Carrie about for the next forever.
You share
like
birthday.
Your birthday's same as Lindsay's. I'll just send her a tweet on, like, send her a happy birthday on Twitter, and, like, hashtag Lindsay on there. Happy birthday, Lindsay Lohan and Carrie. And on this date in 1990, God, I'm getting old. Harley Quinn, Margot Robbie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
which, how old does that make her? Like 28 years old?
Yeah, because I graduated the next year, so.
Yeah. Harley Quinn made her debut on Batman Animated Series in 91. So.
Wow.
Like, yeah, so. So Margot Robbie was a year old when Harley Quinn came out, and she's the first person to actually play her on the screen. All right, notable deaths. On this date in 1566, we say goodbye to Mr. Nostradamus. We need to do an episode.
I've been saying that. I got a book around here somewhere. I was talking to my kids about it another day. I remember, yeah, I think I told you, I was talking to my daughter about what prophecies are, and, you know, can dreams be prophetic and everything. And yeah, definitely, that's... one we should do.
1961, Ernest Hemingway. 1973, Betty Gabriel.
Gable.
Betty Grable.
Grable, you're right.
1993, Herman Munster, Mr. Fred Gwynn. 1997, we lost Mr. Jimmy Stewart. And in 1999, Mario Puzo, the guy who wrote Godfather. And that is it for old business today.
Let's take a little break.
Let's take a little break. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Bad movies. The world is full of them. From low-budget crap fests to downright unwatchable. And only two men are willing to watch them all. So climb in and take your seat. This is Short Bus Cinema.
Let's do it.
Hey everyone, this is Johnny Krug from Kruger Nation.
And this is Rick Morgan from the Helming Power Hour.
And we have decided to team up and take you where no one has gone before.
We're on a quest to find the world's worst movie, and we're doing it on the bus.
Driving through cult classics in every genre to find the holy grail of bad movies.
So if you're looking for something different and more fun than you can stand, then climb on in.
Short Bus Cinema is a proud member of Legion Podcasts.
That's right, yo!
Short Bus Cinema. We love to watch the movies you hate.
All right, we are back.
Yes, we are ready to get into a little bit of
new business is new business, and this is new business.
Let's get into some new business. All right, let's start it off with, since we just got through with debts, you remember Blues Brothers, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Great classic movie. Everybody loves it. Most people have seen it. If you have not seen it, then something's wrong with you. Matt Guitar Murphy, former member of the Blues Brothers band and also featured in the movie itself, playing himself, passed away recently. Very, very sad to see. He's a very well-respected and influential blues guitarist, best known for his work with the Blues Brothers. He's also worked alongside of Etta James, Chuck Berry, and Muddy Waters. He died at the age of 88 years old.
Wow.
He He got to start with the Blues Brothers when he was playing a show in 1978, and Aykroyd and Belushi showed up at one of his shows he was at and decided to go meet him after the show and ask him if he wanted to be part of the Blues Brothers experience. And the rest, as they say, is history.
Awesome.
So let's drink one to that awesome guy. Okay. So you just mentioned Fred Gwynn. Have you ever heard of the Munster Mansion in Texas?
Yes, I have.
I just found out about this a couple weeks ago. I'm going to butcher the name of the town, but in Waxahachie, Texas. Founded in 2002, the Munster Mansion is the proud home and hard work of Sandra and Charles McKee. It is a full-size replica of the Munster Mansion featured in the 1960s sitcom. Twice a year, they allow tours there, and where it's built, there's no parking or anything. It's just on this road with no sides, nowhere to park.
Mm-hmm.
A little two-lane road. They bus people in from the city next door, bring them over. You can take a tour, and there's all the characters are there dressed in full costume, and it sounds like it's a pretty cool experience. It's something we definitely may want to check out. But if you get a chance, go ahead and search the Munster Mansion in Waxahachie, Texas, and check it out for yourself. You can see some pictures of the house itself. They even have a Dracula out there and
sweet
and everything else. So yeah, it does sound like a pretty cool place.
One little piece of trivia that I don't know. The show hasn't been on in years, but remember that show Desperate Housewives?
Yeah.
So that the neighborhood that they were in is just a sound lot. It's a movie lot with facades of houses and stuff for setting scenes and stuff. They're not real houses, but the Munsters' house is one of those houses.
Really?
in that neighborhood.
Really, that's cool.
And I remember when the show first came out and it was very, very popular, I remember there being an article about, you know, did you know that the Desperate Housewives live on Mockingbird Lane? And it's like, wait, what is, because that sounds familiar, you know, because the Munster house was 1313 Mockingbird Lane.
Right.
And so I remember reading the article, and yeah, so basically the Munster house sits between several, you know, between two houses on this fake cul-de-sac. Mm-hmm. That they use for movies, and in setting up the shots for the TV show, they always had to make sure not to catch the Munster's house.
Whenever
they
like cool, they did
their sweeps and stuff, they had to make sure not to get the Munster house in there because
they're not going
to
tear that down.
Oh no,
right?
Yeah, the original Munster house
is crazy,
on that
man.
Street, so it's pretty cool.
I love the Munsters as a child. I think I watched that more than I watched the Addams Family. To be honest with you,
I watched them both. My mom
them both, but I think the Munsters is just set in my head a lot more than the actual Addams Family.
Yeah, I think. Well, for me, it was always the Addams Family, but mostly because I think my mom really loved the Addams Family so much.
Mm-hmm.
So every time it was on, she'd be like excited about it and talk like, "Oh, right. It's Cousin It," and blah blah blah, and you know, so.
But I just remember that when Fred Gwynn would start laughing as Herman Munster, it was just the coolest thing, bringing the house down and everything. Mm-hmm. It was just so cool as a kid.
Well, okay. I always wanted Grandpa's drink.
Yeah.
He was flowing out of the smoke flowing out of his drinks.
Okay. In Indonesia, there's video on this on the internet, and it's pretty crazy, but a 23-foot python swallowed a woman whole. And in the video, it's a la 80s Faces of Death. They cut the python open and this body rolls out. And she was a very small woman. You know, it looks like a child rolls out, but the full body rolls out of this python. The woman was 54-year-old Watiba. She went missing when she was checking her vegetable garden near her village. Snake got to her, ate her. When they went looking for her, they found this snake with its belly really swollen to the point where it couldn't even move. So they killed it, brought it to the village square, cut it open, and they found the woman inside the belly.
Damn.
Harsh.
Very.
This video is out there. You can check it out. Some pretty disturbing stuff. Okay. Rob Zombie decided to go ahead and send out another steal from Devil's Rejects Part 2. Three from Hell. In it is baby being escorted down a hallway with police. You can see her arms are full of scars from bullet wounds. And he actually, in the tweet that he put out, he kind of hinted to the fact that
Looks like she survived.
They survived the shootout, and they are in jail now being prosecuted for their crimes.
Hmm.
Just a little bit more to the plot there that we can get. We're starting to get an idea of what the movie's going to be about, so starting to get some definites, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Remember we talked about Rick Baker?
Uh-huh.
Special effects guru? And sad news in the horror industry, Rick Baker is closing his shop.
Closing up.
He's shutting down. Legendary special effects and makeup creator recently announced that he would be shuttering his studio and auctioning off 400 of his best-known props. Baker's career included some of the most enduring effects imagery of the 20th century, including The Exorcist, Star Wars, the Thriller music video, and Men in Black.
Is he just retiring and like going up the country? Or?
What he's saying is CGI has killed his industry.
Oh, no.
Yep. So, sad day in a part of our genre that is just special effects and practical effects has always been just amazing to me. I prefer it over CGI.
I've always preferred practical effects, and I also remember like when Terminator 2 came out, because that was the first major CGI special effects, and while there was still a lot of practical effects in T2, you know, all of the morph with the T-1000 and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
and how they said something like it cost like $750,000 per second of CGI to get that shot, right. You know, to get the scene done, and how technology's just advanced to where it doesn't cost that anymore, and you can do it. Most kids can do it with Photoshop these days.
Right. But there's a pretty good interview you can see that on Vice's website with Rick, where he just talks about what's happening in the industry, where he sees it going, you know, and just talks about some of the things that he's done over the years. And, but kind of sad, like I said, to see that. All right. I showed you the video a little while ago, but recently footage has emerged of what is being called a half-human, half-dog, 7-foot beast that tried to kill some man's pet. In the video, you hear the mutt as it confronts something in the woods. As it gains confidence, it gets a little closer. Then all of a sudden, this little black dot leaps off the ground, and a 7-foot gigantic wolf appears.
Yes, it looks like a dire wolf out of Game of Thrones.
And starts chasing this dog, and the dog lets out a scream where this is where the camera stops. A lot of people are comparing it to the legendary dog man from folklore, which has been around for a long time. The folklore is said to be a 7-foot blue-eyed beast, which is a mix of a canine and a human being. Check out the video if you get a chance. See if you can find it. A dog man attacks a dog, and it is pretty impressive to see this ginormous dog.
It's crazy on the video. It's insane.
All right. And a little bit of humor for the day. You'll love this story. Okay, this billionaire Bill Gross divorced his wife. It wasn't a pretty divorce. They got his and hers restraining orders against each other and everything. Well, she got the house. It's a billionaire, okay? This is a $20 million home in Laguna Beach. She says she has filed a declaration, taking him to court again, because he sprayed the entire house with cans of fart and vomit spray. She found the empty cans in the trash can. He put dead fish in the air vents. He stole all the remotes for all the TVs, electronics. She put the draperies, everything that had a remote. He took the remotes with him. Damaged the carpet, sprayed this stink stuff on all the plants. She had to replace all the plants because she couldn't get the smell out of there. Dude, how messed up is that, dude? Talk about being petty. Dude's a billionaire. You can buy another house.
Well, yeah. That's not the point.
And one thing that she did do is apparently they had a Picasso. A $30 million Picasso. And he's suing her also because what he's saying she did is she replaced it with a fake one that she painted herself. And he didn't realize it till after the divorce. Once they were going through with everything, nothing had been separated yet. He realized she already took the damn painting with her and she left this fake one up there on the wall.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, she didn't just take it off the wall. She replaced it to fool him. Yeah. The struggles of the billionaire Americans. That is awesome. Man,
that is rough. That is awesome, though.
She has pictures of empty fart cans of fart spray and everything that she found. And you can imagine he could afford some good fart spray.
Back years and years ago, I used to work with this guy, and this guy was just like, his name was Red, and he was like an old school computer programmer and prankster, and he had cancer in the 90s, so he's probably not even around anymore. I lost touch with him in the 90s when I stopped working there, but he would tell me about pranks that they would do. Like, he worked in security, and every now and then, like, somebody would be a dick or whatever. So what they would do is, remember back in the day, you used to go to the grocery store, you could spend 25 cents or 50 cents, and you'd get a little digital watch and the little bubbles out of the machine?
Yeah.
Well, the alarms on those things, those little piezo alarms, would be just, like, the most annoying sound in the world. And just, like, it didn't sound like a good alarm. It sounded like a cheap piece of crap out of the gumball machine. He said that he and his co-workers would buy a bunch of those things and carry them around in their bag, and whenever they'd go, like, install a security system or whatever, they'd be in the attic or whatever. If people were dicks, they'd set the alarms for different times and, like, lay them under the insulation in the attics. So you'd, like, hear it in the wall, and you'd never quite find it, but by the time you could track it, it would quit. And then half an hour later, it would start again, but it would be in a different spot. And he's like, if you could get five or six up there and just have them, like, different, like, I just imagine how, like, crazy that would make you. You're like, what? Where is it? Where
and
is it?
And then all
it?
Of a sudden it stops. Once the batteries burn, it's done.
Yeah, and then it goes away.
You've never solved your mystery. But that's all I got. I'll save the rest of the stuff for the next episode.
Cool.
Let's. Did you hear the Marilyn Manson version of "Cry a Little Sister"?
I saw the preview on the video. I hadn't heard it.
It's pretty sweet. You might want to check it out. Yeah. He apparently what was going on is he had been doing it in concerts, and he got such incredible feedback. He was like, "Screw it, I'll go ahead and make a studio version for you guys." And he did that, and it's worth a listen.
Marilyn Manson. You know, we've had the conversations about him before. He's an extremely talented individual, and he's really good at making music. His cover of the Halloween song from Nightmare Before Christmas is awesome. And he did it all by himself, you know. He did all of the little voices and, you know, everything, and it's really, really good. So, I don't doubt, like, he does really good cover songs.
It's cool. He made it his own, for sure. It's in his style and everything, except for the chorus. The chorus sounds great. Worth a listen.
I'll look it up. Maybe it'll be the end song for the show here.
Cool beans.
Maybe not, though. It might be Holiday Road from Vacation. We'll see. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We'll be back.
Lost River, take 32.
And action. Lost River is lost no more. Yes, friends, you can be part of a modern ecological miracle. Acres and acres of reclaimed land nestled in a scenic mountain valley. Site of the newly formed Lost River Lake. You'll find swimming, sailing, snorkeling.
There's something strange in the water at Lost River Lake. Something you can't see. Something you can't feel. Until it's too late. Started in a Texas pond.
Barbara! Is there something in here?
David! David!
Well, if it still works, it's the quickest way to know if they're down there or not.
What are you doing? You drained a pond?
Yes, we found
it. You let them out?
They were unleashed into America's waterways to churn quiet streams into rivers of living death.
Keep your hand out of the water.
Dad! What's wrong with the water?
Dad!
Stay back!
Dad!
Stay back!
The world of carnivorous fish.
Piranha, the deadliest man-eaters of all. In schools of hundreds, they attack and devour anything that moves with razor-sharp teeth that can strip a man to the bone in less than a minute.
There'll be no way to contain them. They'll be able to swim up every river system in the country.
There's a school of piranha heading straight downstream towards your resort.
They'll kill us. All of us.
Science fiction.
We'll be right back.
to say that word.
But the piranhas.
What about the piranhas?
They're eating the guests, sir.
They're here. They're hungry. Piranha.
And we are back.
Yep.
Happy summer vacation.
I hope I could take one this year. We'll see how it works out.
I just got back from one. And, we're a horror podcast. We're going to talk about summer vacation horror stories.
We've got Piranha 3D playing in the background.
So let me tell you about my summer vacation horror story here. The wife and I, my friend Terrence, his wife Kristen, we all flew to Seattle for 9 days. We did an Airbnb, so we had an apartment right in the middle of downtown Seattle, on the 7th floor. It was awesome. The weather was beautiful. We did, boat tours, and we went up into the mountains, and we wandered all over the city and looked at everything that can be looked at, and we just absolutely had a blast. Best vacation ever, really. And that's compared to going to Europe for 10 days too. So mm-hmm. it was pretty freaking cool. So we get home on Saturday. We got off the plane. We were supposed to land at a little before 4. The plane arrived early, so we got home. The plane landed around 3, so we were home by about 4. And got home, brought our suitcases in, hugged the girls that we hadn't seen in 2 weeks. Everybody's, being sweet and giving hugs and being good. And the wife tells me, she says, "Hey, you want to run around the corner and pick up some tacos? Because I really don't feel like cooking." And I was like, "Absolutely." So I hop on my horse and I ride around the block. I'm getting some tacos. And I am turning into my neighborhood and my phone rings. And it's my wife. And I'm like, "Yeah." Because I thought she was going to tell me to don't forget the green salsa or something. She says, "You need to get here as quickly as you can."
I just gave our daughter the stone cold stunner.
So what? She's like, "Get here now." Okay. So I turn onto my street. My wife is standing on the edge of the sidewalk with my 4-year-old daughter wrapped in a towel with a big paper towel on her chin, bleeding and dripping, like badly bleeding. What the hell is going on? She slipped coming out of the bath, coming out of the, she was drying off after her bath, and she slipped and she fell on the tile, knocked her chin, split it open. And the wound looked like it was about the size of a nickel, and it was wide, like it was round, wide open. Kids crying, holy crap. Go to the emergency room, get checked in and everything. They're giving me my options and stuff. We're going to have to do stitches, blah, 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 blah. So I call my wife. I'm like, "Look, we're going to be up here for a while. She wants her mama. You need to come, This is 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night. It's kind of the kid's bedtime."
Yeah.
So she gets my other kid. A couple minutes later, she calls. I have a flat tire. Her car had a flat tire in the garage. Like, her car hadn't been used since we left.
Right.
She got a flat tire, so she has to Uber to the ER. And then we have to deal with the kid getting 5 stitches in her chin after we'd been home for less than 3 hours. And then Saturday we get to deal with the flat tire. Or Sunday. Sunday was dealing with the flat tire. So it is now Tuesday. I'm only just now kind of shaking off the shell shock. Now we had to have a little drink to our fallen blues brother here, but he's trying real hard to not drink on the weekdays, because we drank more than our share of booze in Seattle. We drank so much, like, started not feeling good. So I'm like, "Okay, I'm not gonna drink." Boom! Just like an airplane. I'm like, "Man, I just picked a hell of a drink." But yeah, so that's my vacation horror story that just happened. So, but Now we're going to talk about some summer vacation movies.
Yes.
Strangely enough, as I pull the list and I start going through them, it's kind of the same movies we generally talk about quite often.
I got a few new ones that I was going to pull out of the stack of stuff. Of course, the top of everyone's list when it comes to this subject, and we'll get that one out the way now, is Jaws.
Of course.
That's probably one of the more famous of all the vacation-themed movies. It's 4th of July weekend. Part of the reasons why everything went awry for Jaws is because the tourism was so important to the town, they didn't want to
close the
beaches down. So that was a pretty major one. Dealing with the beach made a lot of people scared to go in the water. So it canceled a lot of vacations shortly after that movie came out.
I'm sure it did. I mean, it's pretty terrifying. Well, in Jaws 2, same thing. It's like a year later in the same situation. Yeah. Like, there's no way that could happen again. Yeah. Like, we're not going to close the beaches again because for the same reasons. Like,
right.
Although Jaws 2 happens quite a bit faster. Like, the story happens a lot faster. It's not over several days.
Yeah.
It's over just a couple. It's like over the course of a weekend.
Right.
But yeah, Jaws and Jaws 2 are
two pretty major ones there.
And they define the summer blockbuster. So if you're on vacation and you're watching Incredibles 2, you probably have a lot to thank Jaws for, because that's when they released the best movies of the year in general.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the best, not your Oscar bait, but your most desirable, the ones people want to see. Well, I'm going to kick it back, because summer camp, the whole Friday the 13th series.
Yes. Is,
well, I was thinking about it because I didn't think we needed to talk about all of the movies. The only, the two true summer vacation ones would be 1 and 2.
Right.
And 3 to an extent.
To an extent, yeah. Yeah, it's not the camp. It's just some kids going to stay in a house in the woods.
Well,
3 is the
three and 4 they're just in houses somewhere partying. Yeah. In 1 and
a lot
2
of Evil Dead.
Yeah, in 1 and 2 they are
at a camp.
So, and I actually watched part 2 today. Strangely enough, like, I don't know when's the last time.
Don't you think, tell me that Jason isn't scarier than a hockey
player. Honestly, I hadn't watched it all the way through in a long time. I'd seen it either made for TV or I'd seen snippets or the second half or whatever. That opening scene is possibly one of the most suspenseful scenes in the whole series. When she's in the house and he comes and gets her, comes after Alice. She opens the fridge and her mother's in there. His mother's head is in the fridge, and he gets her with the ice pick. Like, woof. But
I love it because Jason is still very human in that movie. He falls down. He's clumsy. You can get him. You can hit him. And he falls
balls.
Over. Yeah, and he's still real human. Starting in part 3 is when he becomes more like a great white shark, where he's just unstoppable.
But when she's running from him and she hides in the woods and he comes up around the corner and she turns around and walks off and like nails him in the nuts and he's like, oh, he falls down because she kicked him in the nuts. Like,
it's a great movie.
Oh yeah, part 2 is awesome. What I was going to say though is I had forgotten how summery it is too, because so much of it happens during the daytime when they're actually out at the camp and swimming and chasing each other around. Yeah. It doesn't all happen at night. Like, the bad stuff happens at night, but they set the scene really well. It's summery. It makes you want to go. It makes you want to go play and swim and stuff like that until you start getting stabbed.
Okay, are you familiar with a movie called Turistas?
I remember when it came out, but it was billed very similarly to Hostel.
Yeah, it is kind of similar to it, but it's still a good story in itself. You got a young man and his sister and her best friend backpacking through Brazil. They decide to go ahead and their bus crashes, so they decide to stay in the off the beaten path where the bus crashes and spend the night there in little cabanas they have on the beach. Unbeknownst to them, they become the victims of a group of Brazilians that harvest the organs of gringos whenever they come to town. A sadistic doctor who feels as though the United States owes their country something, so he takes organs of only Americans for his own people, so he can save lives. and it's pretty brutal.
Sounds like it.
Oh yeah, it is. And you know, local anesthetic only. People are still alive as he's removing the organs and stuff, so they see everything that's going on, and it's definitely a vacation gone bad, to say the least.
Yeah. Well, another one I watched today, which I wouldn't necessarily put as a summer movie, but it was on a list because it's just a getaway camping, cabin in the woods sort of thing, but Evil Dead 2.
Yeah.
Now, there's nothing vacation-y about it. Only like the first 5 minutes when they arrive at the cabin and they're just kind of like, oh, you know, like this.
Picking rooms and everything.
Yeah. Shit quickly goes wrong.
Oh yeah. Once the evil comes, it's there.
Yeah, and it does it.
And the whole movie is Ash against this.
Ash versus Evil Dead.
Yeah.
Funny, because like I said with Friday, I don't get to watch movies that often just because family's always around or I have stuff to do. Today it was a rainy day. I had an admin day for work, and I was catching up on a lot of emails and a lot of tedious stuff that it takes. Basically fine motor skills, but it doesn't take a whole lot of brain trust. So I was able to sit there and watch a couple of movies. And so I the segment we talked about, maybe doing like fresh eyes, watching a movie that you hadn't seen in a while. So I was like, all right, let me throw a couple on there. So that's the thing about Evil Dead 2, is you always notice new stuff, like just different little things that you didn't notice before. Mm-hmm. And stuff like, I don't think I had realized, because Evil Ash is kind of prominent in Army of Darkness. Yeah. I forgot how much Evil Ash was in Part 2.
Yeah.
Like, he converts and he flips back and forth.
Oh, yeah. And quite often. The makeup effects are really great with the Evil Ash there. Mm. It's just terrific. And then all of a sudden he turns back.
He fights.
Yeah.
Like, you see it in his eye where he goes from milky white, and then his like pupil appears, and he like shakes it off.
When he comes out of that pool of water, all of a sudden his face is all different and everything.
But I'd forgotten. I mean, so little details like that of just how much Evil Ash was in Part 2.
Yep, there's nice. Deanna Michaels.
What else you got on there?
Another good one. Have you ever seen The Ruins?
No.
Ruins is a pretty cool movie. It's about these two couples. They're on vacation in Mexico on the beach at some resort. The boyfriend is hell-bent on them taking in some of the local culture and going to some of the ruins. The girlfriend just wants to take care of her hangover from the night before and hang out on the beach, but he's determined that he's going to make everybody go and take in the sights. So they hear about some ruins off the beaten path that not many people know about. It's not one of the ones where you get a tour. You just kind of trek through the jungle and go find it. So they meet up with a couple of Swedes that want to go also. So they all trek out to these ruins. Unbeknownst to them, they get onto the ruins themselves, and it's covered in like this grass and these bushes all over the place. As soon as they get onto the ruins, the locals come up. And they're freaking out, they're screaming, and they refuse to let them off the ruins. Well, what it is these ruins are home of this this man-eating plant. And it can easily, they try to keep it contained to the ruins itself. The ruins are surrounded by like this rim of salt that goes all the way around, so that the plant can't itself come across, but people can carry it over. So that's why once people are on the ruins, they can't get off. Mm. So they're forced at gunpoint to stay there. They go to the top of the ruins to camp out. And over time, it's very similar to The Raft, where the plant can get to you psychologically and just get you to let your guard down. And it's a pretty intense movie, because they just start fighting amongst each other. It's a pretty good one.
Nice. I'll have to check that one out.
Yep. The Ruins is a real good one. But yeah, they were set up at the resort when they decided to go ahead and take a little jaunt into the jungle, and everything went to shit.
So, just as a little aside, I had planned to write up a kind of just a travel blog sort of, I don't know, post on one of my sites to discuss this, because one thing I realized when I was in Seattle, it's like we were doing tourist stuff, we're going over here, we're seeing the Space Needle, and we're seeing the underground, and we're looking at the harbor tour and just everything that's touristy to do. And there's always this thing that kind of lands between what is, I don't know, the difference between being a tourist and being a traveler. Whereas a traveler goes to a destination for a reason, and, you know, it's like an Anthony Bourdain sort of situation, mm-hmm. which you're familiar with him now, aren't you?
Yeah.
I mean, pour one out for Anthony Bourdain, but last week's business, he didn't know who he was.
Yeah, I remember.
But the thing is, it's always this kind of hip thing to be like, oh, we need to find the place where the locals go, or we need to hang out, you know. Well, here's the thing, man. You're talking about, like, the touristas, they want to go off the beaten path, and they want to see. I'm a local to Houston. The thing about wanting to go where the locals go is you got to find somebody local that's cool.
Right.
Because there's a shitload of people that aren't cool that are local to the city you're in. And the reality is, whenever you do hang out with locals in their town, they don't eat at the nice, like, at the restaurants. Like, my buddy from New Orleans, he's like, I don't really like Cajun food. I like, you know, it's like, where do you like to eat? And he's like, you know, I don't think he ever said, like, Applebee's, but it was kind of a, it was kind of a similar thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, so when I go to New Orleans, I want New Orleans flavor. I don't want to go to CeCe's Pizza. That's
you want something unique to the area.
I don't want to hang out with some dude named Steve who thinks that something might be going on later if his girlfriend gets off in time. I want to enjoy the town, and I don't necessarily want to go off the beaten path. I've done a lot of that in my life. I've done a lot of that, and now
it doesn't always work out.
I was like, man, why would I even come here? I could have sat around waiting for something to happen at home. So,
well, we used to go to Cancun back when I was married. We used to go to Cancun, Playa del Carmen, and Cozumel a lot. Every year we go, at least once a year. And I remember a couple of times we went to Walmart in town. And that shit's not fun, dude. It's not fun because the thing about it is, where the tourist area is and the locals live, it's two total very different places. Uh-huh. And the fact that they're so different, a lot of the locals don't care for you very much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it is definitely not a good place to visit.
That is true. that is absolutely true. Well, and as bad as, I mean, that's a lot of it's governmental, because the government taxes these resorts, and the resorts are owned by and funded by outside investors that are kind of in collusion with the government. So the locals don't even really, unless they get lucky enough to work,
to get a job there, right?
They don't really benefit. It's not like where we build a new plant in, you know, Hicksville, such and such, and everybody gets a job and it benefits the local economy. Right. All of those dollars that you spend in Cancun, they stay inside that resort, and they get offshored and sent to Russia or New York or something.
So this is somebody that directly works for there, or their dad works there. They don't really care for the tourists too much.
Mm-mm. Because they take up all the beaches.
Yeah.
And they take up all the good stuff. So. All right. You remember Sleepaway Camp?
Yeah.
Shocking movie.
Yes, it was.
Not so shocking. I mean, it was a functional slasher. I mean, it was good. Then you saw the end and you were like, oh my God. I'm surprised you haven't mentioned Club Dread yet.
I just hadn't got to it yet. Oh, okay. We can talk about Club Dread. Club Dread is one of my favorite movies, as you know, by my boys in the Broken Lizard production group. Club Dread is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
It's hilarious, has some great kills in it. If you have not seen Club Dread, go watch it. If you like Super Troopers and you're a horror fan, you're going to love Club Dread.
On that same comedy thing, we've just talked about it recently, but Tucker and Dale.
Yes.
That's another one of those just kind of sideways summer, you know, summer fling movies that everything goes wrong. And that movie was perfectly cast. Those two guys are just poor dude.
They work so well together, man. Everything just keeps going bad.
He's trying to talk to a girl, and they get scared that he's a killer.
Okay, Open Water, which is one definitely vacation movie that goes really, really bad quickly. Just imagine the fear of going trusting these people to go scuba diving. You pay them money to bring you out there, and while you're scuba diving, they leave, and you're there's nothing. The dread is just
There's not. And yeah, after a while, I mean, because which direction do you swim? Right, like you. There's nowhere to go. There's nothing to drink. Water, water everywhere. Unless you happen to be able to catch a shark and like drink its blood or something, which ain't gonna happen whenever you're floating in the water exhausted. Yeah, that's a rough one there. But I thought we'd flip the switch just a little bit.
Okay.
Because
flip it, brother.
While we're always on the horror tip, it is summer vacation, so I wrote down a bunch of movies that are just awesome to watch when you're on summer vacation. They're summer vacation movies, but they're also just awesome. So, Meatballs.
Meatballs, I watched that recently, like about a month ago.
I haven't watched it in a long time, but...
I can't remember that kid's name, but it's the same kid that was in all those 80s movies. He was also in the Bodyguard and a few other movies, but he was in Meatballs. He was the main kid. He was the one that Bill Murray kind of...
It's his brother.
It is. It's really. That's his little brother.
That's his brother. That's Joel Murphy.
Okay.
You know who else he was?
He wasn't. He wasn't the one that was in
One Crazy Summer.
He was in. That's the same kid.
Same guy.
Really?
You know who else he is? Remember that sitcom Dharma and Greg?
Yeah.
Okay. Remember his drunken lawyer buddy?
Yeah.
That's him too.
Really?
Yeah. He was also Chester Cheetah. Like that guy has got a like character actor pedigree. Joel Murray. He's
Bill. I remember he was in One Crazy Summer.
Yeah. And he always just plays kind of, he plays like a Bill Murray sort of just, you know, kind of. Yeah, the Murray brothers
are awesome.
So, you know, in Caddyshack, the guy who runs the Caddyshack, that's his brother.
Yeah, he's been in a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. And so it's him and what's his name?
He had a cameo in Ghostbusters too. Or mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. He was the mayor in Groundhog Day.
Yeah,
yeah. He's in so many different things. He was the one that actually went out first, and he made it mm-hmm. first. He was making that's you know because Caddyshack's his movie. He wrote it, and Bill Murray was in it. But yeah, like the Murray brothers are kick ass. I mean, they're super cool. But yeah, that guy's Joel Murray in Meatballs.
Okay, I did not know that.
Yeah. And I need to go back and rewatch that because it popped up on a list and I was just like
yeah I watched it on Amazon Prime the other day.
I was like, dude, I haven't seen that in forever. That was such a great movie. Meatballs was one of those that was like kind of it was always in heavy rotation on HBO when I was a kid, and it's mm-hmm. kind of like you wanted to go to summer camp because of Meatballs.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Then of course, One Crazy Summer.
It's a great movie.
It doesn't get more summery than that.
It is a great movie.
You know,
Bobcat Goldthwait. You got John Cusack. You got a young Demi.
Yeah, it's got Demi Moore in it. Yeah. It's got Stephen Wright as the radio DJ.
Yeah.
No, was he the radio DJ?
No, he was the guy that was playing doing the contest, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He wasn't the DJ. He was the guy that was answering the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was his uncle or some shit. His crazy ass uncle. He walked in the room and tell him, why. He's like, leave me alone.
He blows up the radio station.
Yeah. It's surface to air. You got Booger. Booger's in it.
Such a great film. Like, it doesn't. I don't know. That was another one that was on such heavy rotation. That one and
Better Off Dead.
Better Off Dead.
Yeah.
And they kind of like they switched because Better Off Dead's a winter movie.
Yeah.
And you know they kind of switch back and forth, but
those are two classics though, man. I love those movies so much growing up. They were huge. You'd watch them all the time.
They had the dolphin. It was
dolphin with rabies.
Yeah. So good.
Okay, of course we're on that vein. We got to go with Vacation.
Mm-hmm.
The whole line, the whole series of Vacation.
That could be considered
movies.
A horror movie, really, when you think about it. Like all the stuff they go
things
through.
Go bad. Aunt dies. He stick up on the roof of the car. That is a great, great film, though, man.
They forget to put the dog in, so they're just dragging the leash.
Chevy Chase, dude, he's a master. I actually watched, The one with Goldie Hawn that he did. Seems like old times. Remember that movie?
And there was had so many back then.
It was him, Goldie Hawn, and I can't remember the Goldie Hawn's husband's name, but Chevy Chase is her first husband who did time in a Mexican prison, and he ends up getting framed for robbing a bank. And Goldie Hawn's married to the district attorney now, so they're trying to find him, and he's like sneaking to their house trying to get her to help him. It's a hilarious movie, dude.
I need to check that out.
Seems like old times is funny, man. It's one of those good old 80s Neil Simon comedies.
Okay, I need to check that out, because... Yeah, I've been digging like a lot of that old 80s stuff, especially since we did our sequels episode, and mm-hmm. I started thinking about, like, you know, I don't think I ever saw the original of several movies until years later, but HBO always had part 2 and part 3, yeah. You know, different things. You know, Three Amigos, you know,
good one.
Constantly in rotation. You got Steve Martin, Chevy Chase, and Martin Short all in the same movie.
Yep. It's a good one, too, man. There's so many movies like that. They were just, they're classics, dude. If you say you can't find anything to watch, you're not looking hard enough.
Yes.
There's so many movies that you may have seen them once, but it's probably been long enough to where you can watch it again, and it's still going to be good.
Well, and that's so frustrating whenever I'm doing a horror podcast, because you'll mention a movie, or I'll talk about a movie, and then it'll occur to me that I haven't seen that movie since I was in high school or in the last 10 or 15 years. Like, it's not fresh. I've seen it, but I haven't seen it in a long time. And, you know, then I get it mixed up. Did that happen in part 2? Did that happen in part 3? Like, where was it this? Where, you know? So now I'm trying, as I get the time, I'm trying to, you know.
Just like Fletch. When was the last time you watched Fletch?
I haven't watched Fletch in...
Dude, that movie is... I watch it every couple of months. I watch Fletch. It's classic Chevy Chase, man. Even Fletch 2, which I need to get a DVD copy. I got a VHS copy, but I need to get a DVD copy of Fletch 2. Even that one was funny as hell, dude.
You remember the movie Funny Farm?
Oh, yeah, I got it. I got the DVD over there, man.
And everything just sucks. And then they, like, fixed up the town for Christmas so they could sell their house.
Yeah.
They're like, we're staying. The whole town, like, throws shit out.
Postman finally shows up. He's being all nice and...
Okay, let's see. You remember Joe versus the Volcano?
Yes.
Early Tom Hanks.
Yeah, I do remember that.
That was kind of a depressing movie until about three quarters through.
Yeah.
And it gets really funny, but European Vacation is another.
That's another good one. Even Las Vegas Vacation. Vegas Vacation is funny.
Yeah, I remember European was great because there were so many boobs in it.
Yes.
Remember?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, you know, it's like, whoa, they got boobs on TV. And then, like, they're at the restaurant, and the honeymooners are making out, and he's like, I think he's gonna pork her, Dad. He's like, he's not gonna pork her, Rusty. Okay, maybe he is.
In their little home movie, the camera gets stolen. Yeah. Next thing you know, it's in the porno theater playing on the screen.
Little the German girl takes him to the side and like pops her top.
He's finally about to make it to third base and his dad comes by.
Yep. Let's see. Last on this list was Forgetting Sarah Marshall. You've seen that?
I've never seen that.
That's hilarious. So that's got Jason Segel, Mila Kunis, and the cute blonde girl that was one of the voices in Frozen. I'll think of her name. Kristen... something. Well, anyway, so like he's engaged to her name's Sarah Marshall. She's in a show, she's in a TV show similar to I guess it's like CSI. What's the show where David Caruso takes his glasses off all the time? Is that CSI?
Yeah, it was CSI.
CSI Miami.
Yeah.
So she's in a show like that, so she's moderately successful and he's kind of a bum on the couch. So she breaks up with him and he just goes like way off the deep end into depression. And so somebody tells him like, oh, you need to go get out, go do something. So he goes on vacation to Hawaii. And so he goes there, he checks into his room, and when he gets there, she's there with her new boyfriend, who is Russell Brand. And he's just like, but he's already paid, so he's there for like weeks with them, like basically screwing in the next room. And it's it's hilarious.
You can't forget her that easy.
And he's trying to make a puppet vampire opera. It's all super dramatic. It's hilarious. It's a good movie if you've never seen it.
Okay. Well, one, it's not a horror movie at the same time. It's not a comedy, but another vacation movie would be Vacation Gone Bad is Deliverance.
Yeah.
Let's go kayaking, guys, up in the hills in Georgia.
Let's not.
There's so many movies that make you not want to go backpacking or just do certain things. It's because you're just waiting for something bad to happen.
Okay, so you know how like those things that just kind of take a turn.
Mm-hmm.
So we took a day when we were up in Seattle to go out to Mount Rainier. So Mount Rainier is, the park is about an hour and a half south of Seattle. On a clear day, you can see the mountain from Seattle, and it's one of the largest mountains or largest single mountains in the United States. It's huge. So we drove out to the park and we rode this tourism trail through the mountains. And we stopped. There's multiple stops along the way, you know, scenic overlooks, places you can take pictures, places you can walk, you know, like hike a mile and then come back to your car. So we were up there, you know, taking a look at stuff, and these two park rangers they park their truck, they get out, and they start walking up the trail. So Terrence and I are chatting, and I was like, whoa, check out the park rangers hitting on our women. And we look down the hill, and the girls are down there talking to the rangers. And we get down there, and the park ranger's talking and just blah, blah, blah. And Kristen's just, like, red. She's just, like, embarrassed and red, and she's kind of like, oh. So they move on. We're like, what was that? So basically, Kristen was like, your job must be awesome. All you do is walk trails. What does a bad day look like for you? And he's, like, pulling suicides out of the gorges. rescuing people who went off the trail and, like, you know, frostbite. Like, he just went on this laundry list of shitty things that people do in these mountains. And she's just, like, and her parents are cops. So she's, like, very familiar with how a bad day can be. And she's just like, oh, my God.
It's like a Seinfeld episode where he's dating the dermatologist, and she's like, I save lives. And he's like, honey, how does a pimple save a life? What are you talking about? And she finally says skin cancer. He's like, oh.
Yeah, but it's too late to dial it back.
Are you talking about people finding implants in graves over time? There's a couple of them floating in the water right there, and there's Jerry O'Connell's penis getting eaten by a piranha.
So what else is on your list?
Cabin Fever is another one, which is another.
That one's just gross. That's not even really fun to watch.
it's pretty gory. I remember seeing that one in the theater and just
people just melt.
Yeah,
it's just kind of like this, only they're not getting eaten.
Yeah. Then of course you got all your backpacking movies, whether it be The Hostel 1 or 2 or American Werewolf in London, which is another one. Backpacking, like I said, is not a good thing to take part in. You need to have a car and some friends with you where you can get away quickly.
Or just stay on the road.
Yeah.
Like, keep to the road. Yeah, Piranha's not a good movie to watch whenever you're about to go to the lake.
No. Not at all. It's Ving Rhames. He's about to go off by ripping an outboard motor off of a boat and using it to kill the piranha. There he goes. Look at him. He cranks it up, then pulls it off the boat and just starts tearing fish up.
What else do you have here for your list? Summer vacation. I think we're getting towards the end here. We give him a pretty good list of things to watch. If they're bored on summer vacation, or if it's raining, you can't go out and play. You know, watch any of these.
Take a vacation with a horror movie.
Yeah. Texas Chainsaw Massacre is another road trip movie.
Yeah, that's The Hills Have Eyes also.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking The Hills Have Eyes yesterday. Well, Sunday with Father's Day. You want to talk about a father that went above and beyond for his kid. That man would not give up till he saved his daughter.
Yep. Oh man,
I don't think it works that way, Ving.
No. Well, I think that is going to do it for episode 90, Vacation Horror Movies. Hope we gave you a decent list. What are some of your favorites to watch when you're in your hotel room sunburn's kicking, the AC's cold, and you got the sand out of your crack, and now you're just relaxing on the bed. What do you like to watch? Let us know in the comments, and as always, keep it scary.
Later.
West Coast kid.